doing our best not to dwell on it too much. So you can check that out on the Odyssey app. Arcan and I spoke about it yesterday. Mego had some thoughts on it earlier today. So go check that out if you're curious what's going on and where things stand with the show and some of the lineup changes here at WEEI. We played that clip yesterday, Mego, and we referenced this earlier in the program. Just, it's wild. That's a wild answer to me. That the head coach comes out and goes, well, yeah, it's not just going to be collaborative, meaning everybody has input. People should have input. And I feel like I've been hearing this now since this comment yesterday. It's like, well, what do you want? Do you want Bill to just run the show and just do whatever he wants? Or do you want input? No, there should be input. But at the end of the day, someone has to make a decision. Somebody is in charge. That's the way that it works. You know, it's not a democracy. It shouldn't be anyway. It shouldn't be eight people voting on the offensive staff or whatever it is, and they just take a straw poll and they pick a quarterback. That is not a good way to run an organization, a business, anything. And so I just find that to be a wild answer. He, again, to reiterate and underscore what we talked about yesterday, Arcan, Gerard Mayo says, and this is after a longer exchange about who's in charge of the roster. Well, Elliot Wolf is in charge of the roster and the cutdowns, the 53-man roster. Okay. Well, who's in charge of the quarterback? Well, I like to think that Elliot Wolf gives me the roster and I make the game day decisions. But then later on, who's actually picking the quarterback? He says Wolf. He says Van Pelt. He says himself.
It's between Alex, myself, Elliot, and the rest of the offensive staff.
The whole thing, everybody, the whole offensive staff. That's wild. That's just a crazy thing to say.
The running backs coach, tight ends coach.
And on top of it, I have to believe someone from ownership, if not multiple people from ownership or their proxy, Robin Glazer, Jonathan Kraft, Robert Kraft, they're all going to have input. So I don't like that structure. I do think there, as we talked about earlier with the way you handle players, there's a happy medium between the way Bill did it and the way they're currently doing it. It doesn't have to be one extreme or the other. He should take input from Alex Van Pelt. But at the end of the day, it should be up to the head coach who the starting quarterback is. It shouldn't be up to the offensive coordinator or the entire staff or even the GM, in my opinion. In a functional organization, it should be up to the head coach. It doesn't sound like it is, and that's a problem.
I largely agree. I wonder how they got to this point. Was this, did this come from ownership, the whole thing of like, oh, they're so excited that they got their team back, and now they want to distribute the responsibilities across five different people instead of just having one person basically eat up everything and become the one person who runs everything like they had in Bill Belichick? Because, yes, that's the other extreme. There should be a middle ground. I would be fine if it was just Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt having a conversation and, you know, maybe McAdoo or what's his name, TC McCartney, whoever else on the offensive staff that's working directly with the quarterbacks weighs in. Like, I think that's totally functional. It should be between the offensive coordinator and the head coach. I don't even totally understand what Elliot Wolf's say in this is.
Me either.
Like, why does he have a say? He picked the quarterback. That's his job. He's a front office guy. He's not a coach. He shouldn't be evaluating talent once it's in your lineup. I don't get that at all.
And again, the background on Mayo, who said this earlier? They're like, he's never done this before. Is that you?
That or was that me.
You? Okay. He hasn't. He's also known he's the head coach and waiting for at least a year, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't even pick a quarterback? Like, that's, or he's not even allowed to pick a quarterback. So I do wonder, and I said this to you yesterday, Arcan, I do wonder if he's insulating himself a little bit and, oh, well, it's everybody's call and it's collaborative. And that covers his ass a little bit, where if Drake May's a disaster or Jacoby Brissett is a disaster and May comes in and is so-so, and you look at it and go, well, what were you guys thinking at quarterback? Gerard Mayo can go, not my call. I mean, it was collaborative. It was Elliott and it was ownership and it's the whole offensive staff and Alex Van Pelt, Ben McAdoo. I wonder if there's a little bit of like insulating himself from the blowback if something goes wrong. I wonder if there's an element of that.
There probably is. I mean, listen, it's a tenuous situation and everybody's a little, you know, new to this, to their jobs, and they all want it to go well. So yeah, I could see there being a little bit of a CYA type thing going on there. But even if it is a collaborative decision, someone has to rubber stamp it at the end. And I think that's still Gerard Mayo, but really it's the Kraft. Like, I think at this point now, the Krafts were hands-off mostly for 20-plus years. They intervened a couple of times with Gronkowski, with Brady that one time, maybe with some other little things that we don't know about here and there. But for the most part, Bill ran everything, and they just stepped out of the way and let the machine run itself.
There wasn't a lot to step in on.
There wasn't really much at all.
They were winning 10, 11, 12 games, the AFC East every year, and going to the Super Bowl every other year.
Could have stepped in on some things earlier.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. They were mostly hands-off. I think they stuck their nose in more than we probably realize over the years, but they were mostly hands-off. It also was like, it was pretty easy to be hands-off. You were guaranteed a divisional round spot every year, and you were a win or two away from being in a Super Bowl.
Yeah. You were always in the mix. You were selling tons of jerseys, a Brady jersey, Gronkowski jersey, whatever.
You're excited?
You're on national TV every week. You got all five national TV games. Yeah, exactly.
Like, you were the standard of the entire league.
What were you going to jump in on?
Right, and now you suck. And so ownership, I think, wants to get back to that. And while Mayo may have the final, you know, call, okay, everybody, here's what we think. What do you think, Gerard? What's it going to be? The Krafts can still overrule him. They can overrule everybody. And I think that's really what this is all about.
Okay. Dubs 985 with a great reference. I like the comparison to the Bruins and their goalie pick. I think it was a texter who said that. This is like goalie Bob picking the goalie. Like, what does the coach do if you don't pick the starting goalie on a night-to-night basis? So I like that one. Dubs 985 with a Big Brother reference. Jones, clearly all the guys got to turn their keys at the same time to pick a quarterback, I think is a Big Brother reference.
How you fire torpedoes on a submarine.
Oh, is that what the reference is to? Am I just in Big Brother mode? I watched last night.
Big Brother, like, referencing submarines?
Well, the jury used to do the keys. They don't do that anymore. That's an outdated Big Brother reference.
Sounds kinky.
It's good. You all throw your keys in. They turn the thing. Hopefully, I'm picking up on the reference. But what Tucker from Boston is dominating. Just FYI, on season 26.
The key has magic powers.
Yeah, you watch show, right?
I do.
Tucker, not to spoil.
He's a monster.
My good, what a comp beast!
With Big Brother, are they allowed to go outdoors?
Out of the house, yes, but they can't leave. Yeah, they have a whole backyard and everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was just people in, like, a warehouse.
Hot tub.
But no, nice. None
foosball,
of the house guests can call in and say thank you, Mago.
Meaning the game pool and the swimming pool, yes, none of that.
They have a Papa Shot?
The games vary year to year, but I don't recall a Papa Shot.
Because this sounds great.
Yeah.
I'd be on the show.
Yeah. You sit around in your pajamas and, you know.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't have to do anything.
Eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
They work out like losers. I wouldn't do that. Just sit in the house. Sit in your pajamas and play games all day.
It just sounds like a very boring show compared to a lot of the reality TV that I know that you like.
Yeah, well, you haven't
watched. ASMR reality TV experience.
You haven't watched Tucker. I will tell you that. But if I got the reference wrong, then whatever. We'll just blow past it. When it comes to all of the people making decisions, who do you think is actually in charge? And I'm not just talking about the quarterback. Who's in charge? Who is running the show? Like, in all honesty, who's in charge of the Patriots right now for years? And Bill had to answer to Kraft, but we knew it was Bill. Who is it? Like, I really don't have a great feel on it.
I don't either. I would guess that if you have to get down to the very, very strongest decisions, if you want to know who's rubber stamping something like trading Matthew Judon, then it has to be ownership.
Okay, which
ownership
one?
Ownership has to have a say on that. I don't know.
I think it's Jonathan.
I think it's J.A.K., Jonathan Kraft.
I don't know enough to know how closely Robert Kraft is still involved day-to-day or Robin Glazer. I will effort to figure out in my new role, which is not a blogger. Just saying. There's been a lot of misinformation spread out there.
I did see somebody tweet that at you, that they're looking forward to reading your blog.
Yeah, I did. They meant it clearly as a joke.
I want to say something, but I don't want to, like, you know. I got blog joke. I feel like I can't tell them now.
What?
I was going to make a blog joke, but I don't want to kick you while you're dead. You know? Like, I thought that was
someone else is doing it. Somebody already beat you to it.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were just repeating the joke that I cited.
I stopped, and then you demanded to know what I was going to say, so I'm telling you.
It's a very clunky joke delivery by you.
I wasn't going
to
do it.
Yeah, I totally didn't want to copy the joke that the other guy already told you that I'm talking about right now. I totally didn't want to do that.
Hey, that was my joke first.
maybe it's an Arcan burner. Do we know who that person was?
Can I tell you when we talk about
burners?
Did
we just discover an Arcan burner? Yes, go ahead.
I think somebody forgot to log out of their work handle when they tweeted at me.
Oh. Who?
Oh, is it the Burlington Police?
Yeah.
I saw that because they ripped me. Yes, the Burlington Police Department was like, Arcan sucks. I can't believe this. They let you go. Mago and Arcan sucks. I saw that.
This is news to me.
Burlington Police. bunch of mall cops out there. Paul Blart's emailing me. Thanks very much, Burlington Police. I hope you
could
don't
be Mego's first piece.
Hope you don't trip over your Segway.
Wait,
Paul Blart.
So what? So did they delete it?
Uncool.
No, somebody texted it to me today and was like, Do you have a relationship with this police department? I guess we have listeners there. Thank you very much.
Burlington
You're
police.
Right. You're very right in your opinions, Burlington Police Department.
Yeah. Patrolling the mall. Making sure the teens are all out of the food court.
Cheesecake Factory can get
No wonder
out of
they
control.
Got so much time to tweet.
But at Burlington PD on Twitter, you got screwed. Arcan sucks.
Yep. Yep. Thanks, Paul Blart. Very nice. You kids don't stop stealing all the free samples.
You got screwed. Arcan sucks. I feel like I dodged a bullet on that one.
Kind of, yeah.
I don't know. Burlington PD, follow up. I don't know how to weigh in on this.
Burlington
I don't know how you feel about me.
Pro Jones.
Yeah, by not ripping
the omission alone is pro Jones.
I feel like they must be pro me. Yeah, good tweet. I'll stand by that tweet.
By the way,
don't delete that thing.
That's why I don't have burner accounts.
How dare you call them Paul Blart?
Because they are. That's why I don't have burner accounts, because I know I would do that. I know I would just, whatever I was trying to say, I would do on my own account, and it would be complete. It would be like the Burlington Police.
I like to believe all the cops stood together around the computer and agreed on that tweet.
Like how the Patriots pick a quarterback.
Right.
Exactly. That's exactly how they do it. They all just stood around, and they're like, all right, like, do we like Mego? Do we like Joe? They couldn't come to a consensus on me, and they all just stood around the whole police
and
department.
And then Paul Blart gets to hit send at the end. Don't arrest me if I'm in Burlington.
Yeah, I wouldn't go anywhere near there if I were you, quite frankly.
You ain't getting Secret Service anytime soon.
Seriously. But yeah, please.
Whatever,
started
it.
By all means, weigh in. No, Arcan, I'm with you, by the way. I'm people are like, oh, Jones must have burner. I guarantee.
I would screw it up so
fast. Same. I would be Kevin Durant so fast. I would get caught so fast with a burner, it wouldn't even be funny. Like, not worth my time, because I know I would screw it up.
And, Kevin Durant.
People are like, why would I fight my battles? No, I'd love to fight battles anonymously. That'd be great. I'm too stupid to do it. I'm way too dumb to do that.
Yeah, I'd say you're too lazy.
Yeah, it could be that.
Stupid, lazy.
Combination of laziness and dumb. And not that this is a segue by any means, but like I'd be subtweeting, Finn and things like this. That's what I'd be doing, but I'd get caught. I'd get exposed. Which, great reporting by him, by the way, yesterday. I'm breaking this story wide open. Again, excellent work by him. Thumb right on the pulse. 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback here. Arcan with the latest in trending, and we're right back with Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Patriots practice running long.
Practice isn't over yet.
I said this in the 2 o'clock hour, and I kind of forgotten, we got sidetracked, and I kind of forgotten. I go, oh crap, I gotta look at the beat writers, like, what are they tweeting about practice, because they've been embargoed now that fans aren't allowed at training camp anymore. Which, when was the last one? Last week. Now that fans don't have access anymore, you can't live tweet what's going on. I think you were always embargoed on video, or largely embargoed on video, but you can't tweet live during practice what's going on. So we used to get during training camp, after 7-on-7s, Callahan, Daniels, Phil Perry, boom, here were the numbers. We'd know them in real time as they were coming out. Now you just get like a flood of tweets at the end of practice. And we'll only get that for another week or so, and then we're into the regular season, and you'll get to watch the guys stretch, and then you'll be done. So this is the most access we're going to have to what's going on the practice field, or at least that's how it was done under Bill. I guess I don't know how it's done under Gerard Mayo.
I would assume it's largely the same.
I would think so, right? I would think most teams handle it that way. So we haven't had any updates, and I was kind of wondering why we haven't had any updates, because they're having a 2.5-hour practice. Now, it didn't start until 1, so they're all plenty rested, these guys. Like, they have to get on the practice field. I was complaining about 11 a.m. practices. 1 o'clock? My goodness. And now it's going until 3:30. So what do we make of this? What is this? Is there a changing of the guard? Like, is that why they're adding more reps to give Drake May more of what's going on? And admittedly, I have no idea. I'm just trying to talk out why today is the day they're adding a lot. It is Thursday. It's not even like it's a normal, like, Wednesday is normally your big practice day, install day during a normal NFL week. So it's not even like they're replicating a regular NFL week that would have been yesterday. So I don't know that I have a great theory as to what's going on. I can tell you what I hope is happening. They're adding reps for Drake May, and they extended the thing, but just know. And we'll get the answer from Tom. We talked to him at some point in the 4 o'clock hour, normally at 3:30. I say normally, that was ending today anyways. But we'll talk to him at some point in the 4 o'clock hour once practice is concluded and he's done with all of his TV, web responsibilities, interviews, and things like that. 4:30 is when we're going to talk to Tom. I don't have a great theory. I know what I'm hoping for, but they're having a marathon practice today, which I guess, good. They haven't had one all offseason. Good they're finally having one.
I think they've had another one that was pretty long on one of those very hot days, but I don't know. Is it a good indicator or is it bad? Is it indicating that there's a lot of stuff that they need to cram into this one practice because there's only so much time left and they're looking at the calendar and they're even looking at the calendar of this week? What's up?
I think it's done.
practice just ended?
Well, I'm seeing Reese tweets here in the last minute. He says Tristan Hill had an interception. He's on the spot in a ricochet off the hands of Jaheim Bell on the first play of Drake Maye's two-minute drill. No.
Oh, dear.
Marathon practice, 2 hours, 24 minutes.
The good news is Tristan Hill is projected to be one of the best defensive weapons in the entire NFL.
I mean, the interception went off the hands of Jaheim Bell. I'm going to need more information on that. Was it behind him? Did Bell just drop a perfect throw that was right now? I'm going to need more information on that. And I'll spin it whatever way I want anyways. But that's Reese. He said they continue to shuffle their offensive line. Chukwuma Okorafor at left tackle. That pushed on Wenyu to right tackle.
Vidarian Lowe out.
Layden Robinson to right guard. Vidarian Lowe out. All right. I mean, let me know if you guys see anything else. I'm just going through the beat writers here. Was Phil saying anything? Those are all from
Did
Mike
you guys
Reese.
Just mention on Wenyu? Sorry, I was clicking around.
Yep, we did. Yes. On Wenyu at right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I saw
Dakota Randall says on Wenyu was the top. Oh, sorry. Yeah, top right tackle.
Yeah.
Right.
Here we go. Numbers. Last minute. Mark Daniels. Just as I was bitching about it. That's perfect. Brissett, 10 for 11. 11 on 11. Only 2 for 4, 7 on 7. Maye, 7 for 10. Pick off the hands of Jaheim Bell. And 5 of 6, 7 on 7. More starter reps for Maye. Better day for Brissett. Zappi had a nice practice as well. Well, come on. He was 9 for 9 and 11 on 11. Zappi. Okay, I'll continue to pick through these, but it sounds like outside of the interception, Maye got more starters reps. Brissett had a bounce back day. Got any more details on that pick? If you see it, fill me in. But that's what's going on with the Pats. 2 hours and 24 minutes. Why, Arcan? Why?
It's a good question. I think that they realize, especially on the offensive line, with Lowe injured or whatever his deal is now, that they have to come up with something quickly. They have to find some kind of combination that works. And I think that over the course of these, you know, last couple of weeks here in getting the quarterbacks ready, they've largely, I don't want to say neglected it, but they've also just sort of thrown together whoever was there and haven't really found anything that sticks. I'd imagine that the extra time today was to just get a little bit more cohesiveness with that unit. I think that that's probably the biggest issue on this team right now. I'd say that's the biggest thing that's at the top of everybody's mind in terms of getting ready for the season. You know, you want the quarterback to be ready, but they all sort of look at the offensive line and think, okay, this unit is in the worst shape out of any group here on this team, and we got to fix this somehow before we get to this game.
Can I ask a real quick sidebar question since we have a Commanders fan sitting here and Jahan Dotson got traded today for a 5th-round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles? Good organization, good receivers. Should the Patriots have been in on Dotson? He was really bad last year, but he's a former 1st-round pick. He had a good rookie year.
I think if they had done it, I probably would have crushed them. I like to be totally transparent.
Crushed who? The Pats?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't love this for the Commanders. So I would look at it and say, like, it's just not.
You don't like that the Commanders traded him?
No. I'm saying, like, if it was reversed, I'm thinking about it as if my team got it.
I see.
Do you know what I'm saying?
If your team got Dotson or if your team traded Dotson?
No, if my team got Dotson, what do we want him for?
Right.
you can only go in on a redemption project, but like I would.
That
I think
would
I
track
would be,
with this team.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I would be a little bit more irritated than anything else saying, like, this is like a fake buy. This is, you think that you can redeem this guy? You don't have any part of your offense really organized. So I don't think it's...
It's not a third-round pick. Like, that's what you got for Judon. So, I mean, that's significant. I think that's...
I thought it was a fifth. Did I have that wrong?
I thought it was a third, and they got back a fifth.
Oh, maybe right? I may have misread. If it's a third, that is way too much.
They traded Dotson and a fifth for a third and two sevens.
I'm sorry. I thought they got the fifth back, so I misread that. So that's way too much. Dotson was horrendously bad last year. Good rookie year. First-round pick. I don't know. A third-rounder is too much. I agree with that. Now, you have an extra one to Arcan's point, but there you go. All right, so I'm catching up on more of these tweets coming out. Mark Daniels, Drake Maye took 6 reps with the top offensive line today. That included 4 throws, 3 complete, to DeMario Douglas, Jalen Polk, Jaheim Bell. He also says Maye was intercepted on his first throw in the 2-minute drill. It was kind of a wild play. Del Pettis batted the pass up in the air. The wide receiver, I thought it was Jaheim Bell, the wide receiver hit the ball up in the air, and that's when Tristan Hill caught it. Cadlick says Maye dropped the throw in the bucket, second level, Jalen Polk. He also says Maye took more reps with the Patriots first team on Thursday, and the walkthrough also took more snaps from David Andrews. We unconfirmed, Mego, whether or not he requested them or not.
I would like to know. Did he raise his hand again and say, me and DA have some stuff to work out? Or did they say, hey, Drakey, get in here?
Good question.
Your turn, bud.
I think we touched on most of this, but I don't think I gave the full offensive line earlier. Joe just dropped this in from Doug Kide at the Boston Herald. Offensive line, left to right. Chukwuma Okorafor, Sidy Sow, David Andrews, Layden Robinson, Mike and Wenyu. So your your tackles are a core of four. And on when, doesn't that feel better? I mean, I guess I'd like Caden Wallace in there somewhere, but on when you at tackle needs to happen for this team.
I think so too. I just wonder why they had put him back at his natural position of guard at the beginning of this offseason. At the beginning of the program, why did they switch him back there? And then now, out of need, they're a couple weeks before the season actually starts going, why don't you pay the position that we're actually play the position that we're paying you for, which is tackle money. We're not paying
the
you VA's guard money.
In there.
Go play tackle.
And again, that's David Andrews, not the former night host. So when it comes to the Pats and this practice today, I think the streamlined version, I said there were three boxes that needed to check for Drake May to start week one. And it's not just today. It continues tomorrow, although I don't know how hard the practice is going to be after almost 2.5 hours today. My guess is it's a light practice tomorrow. And then the game on Sunday. I need May to practice well. Debatable. It sounds like he had a good day, but he did have a pick off a deflection. So debatable how well May played today. I said he needs to continue to get reps with the starters. Check that box. That happened. Mm-hmm. And I need Jacoby Brissett to continue to suck. That definitely didn't happen. It sounded like Brissett had a bounce back day today. So I don't know how I feel about week one. I need to see it in the game. He needs to get reps with the top offense in the game on Sunday. I think it's going to happen. It's trending that way. And I want to see how it all looks. I don't totally close the door on it, but not a great day. If Jacoby Brissett is bouncing back and not playing terribly like he's played for the better part of 2 weeks, not a good development. And we'll give you more thoughts as they roll in. Again, we'll talk to Tommy Curran. Scheduled to talk to him now. Late practice or a practice that ran long, so we'll do that at 4:30 instead. Let's go to Steve in the car. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well, Steve. What's up?
Hello?
Hello?
Well, I just wanted to say goodbye to Mego and Jones, and we've had our arguments in the past couple of years. I'm the guy from New Hampshire, but I love you guys, and I'm sorry to see you go.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, again, none of the three of us actually are fully going anywhere.
Right.
Mego is going to be on the radio still and working on the website. Is it accurate to say you're specifically covering the Patriots, or will it be more than that?
Patriots and Celtics.
Patriots and Celtics.
Yes.
You're still doing the podcast?
Actually, they said that they could really use me on Bruins coverage. They were like, the mind that you have for hockey has been going to waste on that program.
I saw Scott on his hands and knees begging.
Never talks about hockey. I said, please, please.
Yeah, and Bridget roughed you up. She's like, no, I'm not moving
it
on my turf.
The market is not ready, guys.
That's a good point.
It's not ready.
So, Mego, not going anywhere. Again, the show will not continue 2-6 as it was. But Mego will still be a part of WEEI.
She's also going to do walking bets, I heard. That's a new thing she's doing.
You know what? That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Am I reading about somebody else?
You know what? There's not a lot of that going on social media.
That space is way too competitive.
That's
for
a good
me.
Niche. I think that's a good niche.
Now, that is a competitive space right now, yes. It really is. A lot of walking.
What if
a lot of
do running bets? I'm just sprinting.
Walking?
Yeah. During your next marathon.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Walking, that's so out. Running.
Red Sox 21.
Workout
Moonwalking.
Bets.
Walking.
Workout bets.
Over under 45. I'm taking the under, you guys.
I mean, that's
sprinting bets.
Trust me, that whatever noise Arcan just made, there's definitely a market for that.
That's true, yeah. Didn't sound like running.
I also will be a part of WEEI. Thank you, Steve, for the kind words. I'll be with Rich Keefe 10-2. And Arcan will remain here 2-6 with Andy Hart. So that's the update on that. And it's been a while since I said it, but we all do feel horribly for Christian Fourier and Andy Gresh. And neither will be continuing at the station. So if you're just tuning in, that's news on that. We addressed it at the top of the show. It's on the Odyssey app. You can go check it out. Rich in the truck. Hello, Rich.
Hey, guys. How are you all?
Good, Rich. How are you?
How's it going? Hello.
Hi, Rich.
Joe, you there?
Well, that was Arcan that was addressing you multiple times. Hello. But yes, I'm here. Hello. Do you have us, Rich? Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I got you now. My bad.
Cool.
I just wanted to say, guys, that it's been a really nice time listening to everyone on the show on here. Jones, you're in a quiet taste. It took me a while to get into your style and your takes, but you've grown on me, and especially from yesterday, the way you jumped in front of all of this and kind of threw yourself out there is the reason. I don't think that's true. I think it's just a picky audience, and I'm one of them, so trust me when I say I know they're picky. Mego, I'm going to miss all your little afternoon stuff that you talk about, your little moments, your little Miss Campy wrongs. It's going to be fun to to remember them, but we're going to miss them. And Arcan, you're the peanut butter, man. You know, you keep it going.
Wow.
So I'm going to appreciate you guys from afar, but I'm so glad you'll be on the station. But, boy, we're going to miss some of the funny crap you guys pull out of your butts, like okay. The always sending references.
Rich, we appreciate it. Nice words. We're going to miss it as well. Arcan's the peanut butter.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
I thought it was interesting for Keith to call in and compliment Arcan that way.
The peanut butter man.
Arcan, isn't that...
Is that like a superhero?
Well, no. I'm assuming we're talking... He didn't say you're the peanut butter man.
He didn't?
You're the peanut butter
comma
man.
Oh. Well, that wasn't clear. He said you're the peanut butter man.
You thought he was calling you the peanut butter man?
Like I'm like known for my love of peanut butter or something. I don't know.
Dogs love you.
Dogs, yes. Well, I like them too.
You're dangerous to some people.
You thought he was calling you the peanut butter.
I don't know what he was calling me. I don't know what that meant.
Hey, man, you're the peanut butter, to turn the phrase.
And someone else is the jelly, basically?
Correct. Okay, so this is what I was going to say. I think the peanut butter is really the highest form of compliment.
Did you think that he was calling you, like, Mr. Peanut with a monocle and a top hat?
No. I thought it was some sort of superhero, peanut butter-related superhero. Is what I thought he was calling me. And I took it as a compliment, by the way.
Hey, man, you're Peanut Butter Man. You ever read those comics? Remember when they killed off Peanut Butter Man? It was huge news. Do you remember that?
It's all
we were talking about at our school that day.
It's better than the last compliment or criticism you got, nickname.
This is Bookworm.
That's true. Better than that.
Arcan's very on the defensive.
Look up on the sky. It's Peanut Butter Man.
I'll never forget Arcan reminiscing about... going into high school when Superman died.
Yeah, so was it high school? What grade was that?
It was either that or like 8th grade. It was right around there, yeah.
It was before or after they killed off Peanut Butter Man.
Well, I still haven't gotten over that.
It's true.
Well, the thing is, they try to kill Peanut Butter Man a couple times, and he always comes back.
It's true. It's like, you know, he was chunky, and then, you know, he just turns into a creamy peanut butter. There's really nothing you can do to him. Our good buddy John is in the car. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's a bittersweet day for Mego's childhood friends at Bowel Movement because she won't be in the air, but they won't have to have their stuff aired out.
That's a good point.
You know, weekly. So that's
air out that shed. That's what they got to do.
That's right. Yeah. I know. I'm glad you guys aren't, like, dead or something, the way I've been listening to some of this show today. Like, but I'm going to miss the 2-6, obviously, but, you know, whatever. Good to hear you guys in other times. Jones, I got to call in because I think you're absolutely right on Mayo. Like, the only thing that he seems to be doing right so far is deflecting. Like, every time that, like, there's some potential negative comments that come out, like, he deflects, oh, you know, we're collaborating. Oh, that might be Elliot's decision. Oh, that might be this. Like, you had a plan for Drake May, supposedly, that we weren't going to like, that was going to be slow. But now, all of a sudden, like, because Brissett maybe sucks and isn't, like, really as good as you thought he was, like, now maybe he might start sooner, but like I just can't follow any of this crap with him, and it's just it's just frustrating.
No,
but I think you're absolutely right.
It's frustrating, and so look, it's one of two things, I think, unless I'm missing it. It's either Gerard Mayo is not in charge, which is wild. You handpicked this guy on a trip to Israel. You compared him to Bill Belichick, and like, what I know.
Your wife.
It's my sweetie Maya, Myra. And it's Bill Belichick. And even Pete Carroll, I want credit for that. And, like, you do all these comparisons, and then you don't even let the guy make any decisions? So either it's that. It's either Gerard Mayo has no say, and he is not in charge, which is a wild thing to do with your head coach. Or he's insulating himself and trying to protect himself from blowback. And he's deflecting, to use John in the car's word. Am I missing another possible avenue? I think it's one or the other, and I don't think either one's good. I just think you're picking a bad scenario either way. Either he's deflecting to get in front of it, or he's not in charge. I mean, pick whichever one you want. Either one's terrible.
Could it be a little bit of both, where they have the training wheels on him, but not to the extent that maybe he's expressing it, because he doesn't always express himself in the clearest way?
Maybe. I just think if the training wheels are on, then he's not in charge. And so I would still put that in the first bucket. Like, your head coach should be. He may not be. It sounds like he's not. But your head coach should be in charge of picking the starting quarterback. That's a very, very basic thing, I would think. Now, maybe the Patriots want to run this like I think the Celtics are run, which I guess would be a lofty comparison, but just to use a local example, or like how baseball teams are run. I think a lot of NBA teams are run this way. Analytics, and we're going to have a lot of input from up high, and ownership's going to have their thumb on all of it. Like, that doesn't sound like a great way to run things. And so maybe Gerard Mayo's just really not in charge. Maybe it's like goalie Bob. Maybe there's another scenario here that I'm missing. I don't think either one's good. And I wonder if Gerard Mayo is worried about the slings and arrows and worried about how bad it's going to be. And he's like, well, it's not just my call. I might have just picked this quarterback situation. And if Drake May sucks, I know we're hosed. I know we're going to be bad. I know there's no future here. And if Drake May sucks, I want some insulation from getting blamed for screwing up his development or whatever, you know, something like that where he gets attached to it like Bill did with Mac.
But I think that's that everybody's doing that. Everybody's saying it's by saying it's collaborative. There's nobody to point the finger at the end of the day. Ultimately, we all know that the finger needs to be pointed at ownership because they hold the pocketbook, the purse strings, however you want to say it. And Gerard Mayo, because he's the head coach.
Yeah.
And so he's the CEO of the team, essentially.
So I'm with you. If everybody's collaborating and everybody's in on the decision and it's all, you know, one big group effort, like the Burlington Police Department tweeting at Arcan, if it's all that, then you do have to point the finger at ownership.
Now, we have some breaking news.
Oh, good. What is it?
The Burlington Police have deleted their tweet.
Oh.
They deleted it. I haven't saved, but it's been deleted.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
I guess that means I got to squash my beef with them. You guys aren't all mall cops. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, who do you think? Well, no. You're running away from it?
Well,
they deleted it. Yeah, but so what?
Well, if they're deleting it, then I'll accept that as an acknowledgement that they didn't mean to say. You know, it's fine. So I'll take back what I said, too. That's okay. That's how it works, right? We're all adults here.
I thought you were going to lean in more on, like, oh, Paul Blart decided to delete the tweet. I thought you were going to lean in more on that.
I mean, I thought about it, but, you know. I don't need to take on a whole police department.
Do you think the Burlington Police Department is accepting his apology? Like, do you think it's safe for Arcan to drive through Burlington?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, me neither. I think not for 1 second.
You're enemy of Burlington.
The amount of times you said Paul Blart in a 2 minute span, they can delete all the tweets they want. I think they're setting you up to think you can just show up in Burlington and then next thing you know, you're behind bars.
I don't have any business. Actually, my doctor's office is in Burlington.
Yeah, not anymore.
Coat factory
Find
there?
Find a
what
new
you got?
Doctor.
Have to do something about that.
I love Burlington,
Find
Massachusetts.
A new PCP.
They got a Wegmans. They got an L.L. Bean. They got everything you need. Mm. Twist, gluten-free bakery.
And the best mall cops you ever saw.
Arcan.
What?
I love the Burlington police.
I think this is an ingenious plan by them. They delete it. They get Arcan's trust back. He drives through Burlington, and next thing you know, he's cuffed and doing life. That's how I think this is going. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with all your feedback coming up. I do want to get into the Patriots coaching staff beyond just Gerard Mayo. Some rankings came out. How does the Patriots coaching staff stack up against the rest of the NFL, and how much should we trust them? That's next. I just find that interesting because there's a bunch of reporting that the Patriots gave Matthew Judon the option. And maybe it was from Judon's end. Maybe this wasn't even from the Patriots. It was up to Matthew Judon. We gave him the choice. It's the Bears or the Falcons. He has an opportunity to pick his spot. And I don't know if that makes Judon sound better or the Patriots sound better, but that's the way that it was presented. That's not how Hard Knocks presented it. Hard Knocks presented it as the Bears weren't going to do the deal without a contract in place, a signed contract in place for Matthew Judon. He would revert to the Patriots. They had a similar offer. But that's how Hard Knocks presented it. So I just find that to be interesting. Maybe it's something we can ask Tom Curran about coming up. His understanding on the situation with Judon. Reporting from his colleague, Phil Perry, who's weighed in from practice today about Drake May. We'll get to it in a moment. Versus the way it was presented on Hard Knocks. Curran going to join us now at 4 o'clock as opposed to 4:30.
It's a moving target. It sounds like it's a crazy day down there.
It's a bit of a moving target. So we'll talk to Curran again at 4 o'clock.
Sounds like the offensive line situation.
Seriously. You have thoughts on the Bears aspect of Judon that they wanted? Well, they wanted it in writing, a signed contract that he was going to play for them, something the Falcons did not stipulate. Does that tell you anything about the Patriots, their negotiation, or the market for Judon, anything there?
So can that still mean that it was Judon's choice? Is it possible that they presented the two scenarios to Judon with that stipulation, and Judon goes, I don't really like what they're offering to me. I'd rather go to Atlanta and, you know, bet on myself down there and get something better.
I guess, but the team wasn't going to do it if he didn't. So I don't really know that that was much of a choice at the end of the day for Judon. Mm-hmm. But I get what you're saying. It could be true. I just think if the Bears said we need X and Judon wouldn't do it, Well, and Train's not going to happen. And I'd imagine that's why they didn't get him. I think it's more about the Bears than it is about Judon.
Maybe something was lost in translation, or they're trying to present it like they went to Judon and said, how do you feel about playing in Atlanta? And he said something along the lines of, I don't care. I'm miserable. And they said, okay, that means you want to go to Atlanta. And that's how they played it.
Yeah. It sounded like Judon had a ton of options. It turns out he kind of had one. And one offer anyway at this level. And so I don't know how many options there were for him, which I guess is a check mark in the column of Arkin. Like, I wanted Judon here. I don't want the third round pick. I'd rather have Judon. That's my feeling on it. But Arkin's been down on Judon for a while, and it sounds like a lot of the league was as well outside of one team.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a good player, obviously, when he's out there, but he's not reliable. He's not someone you can count on to be out there all season long or even half the season, a lot of cases. And even when he was out there the whole time, he faded out at the end of the year. And not only that, this isn't the type of team that I feel like is really going to benefit from having a Matthew Judon kicking around. A guy like that in his 30s, this is probably his last kind. He's not part of the future of this team. We all agree with that. And, you know, the present, I guess, is something that if you're building, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to have a good player. But if he's not going to be a good influence on the other players in the defense, then really, what's the value of having him? I mean, a couple extra sacks? Like, big deal. I don't think that is anything worth going crazy over, especially when you can get a good return.
Okay, fine.
And I think a third-round pick is a very good return.
Okay, well, this is maybe where we disagree. What's the difference in a third-round pick at the end of the day? It's like, could it help?
You could have traded it for Jahan Dotson.
Okay, but like, I don't know, like what helps you more this season? It's inarguable. And if you wanted a third round pick or a fourth round pick or something, you could have done it at the beginning of the offseason to get something now.
Unless he's a huge problem in the locker room, then he doesn't help you this year.
I get what you're saying. You're saying that, you know, Judon, how much of a difference does he really make? My contention would be, how much does a third round pick really make of a difference at the end of the day? And so I'd rather have the guy on the team this year. To me, and I still feel that way, but I found it interesting that the Bears said, we're not doing what the Jets just did, bringing in Hassan Reddick and then having Judon hold out. No. If he doesn't sign, he reverts back to the Patriots, and he's your problem.
I like how Judon was like, here, I'm in Atlanta now, and these guys don't know me as a man, but I'm going to go out there and prove to them. It's like, you just said all this in New England. Like,
you literally
you
just said
whole
that
big speech
on the radio in Boston and didn't back it up even one iota.
It didn't last a week until he started bitching and complaining and demanding a trade. So it's like, all right, you know, I kind of see where the Bears are coming from.
A couple more updates from Patriots training camp. Phil Perry says more first-team reps for Drake May today. That number slowly trickles upward. But Jacoby Brissett's still the clear top QB.
Can you trickle upward?
Can I?
I'm sorry. No, I don't want to know about that part of your life.
It's not a skill of mine, no.
Give me a few minutes and I'll show you.
Like, grammatically, trickling upwards just doesn't... You just trickle down.
Well, let's pepper Curran about that. He can yell at Phil about his language. Does it... The number slowly trickles upward. Jacoby Brissett's still the clear top QB. No surprise based on how reps have been handled to this point. And Alex Van Pelt's praise for Brissett earlier today. Bedard also follows up. He's big on this is not a competition. Which, again, I'm going to start to wonder if the Bedards of the world know what they're watching if Drake May is starting week one. I'm going to start to wonder that. If he doesn't, they're right. But I'm curious. He's adamant it's not even a competition. That's weird because if he starts week one, I think it was. He says, slow game prep in shells with cards. This has been a thing the last couple of days. They have cards there? Like play calls on cards? Is that what that means? May got some snaps with Andrews, but not significant when it comes to a quote-unquote competition. More about the plan in the Washington game, in my opinion. Okay? Lowe is out, so new line, and we've read that a bunch of times. So there you go. 617-779-7937.
It's lip service.
I want to jump this individual in the line here.
Loyal caller.
A lot of you waiting patiently. I referenced this individual earlier, Janet Haverhill. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing great, Jan. Thanks for asking. I know you're a big Mego fan. Do you have anything nice to say to Mego?
Yeah, I'm going to miss her. But see, I listen to y'all all of the time, every day.
Oh, thanks, Jan.
Just because I don't go on the air that often, you're the first one I went on the air with.
Oh, thanks, Jan. That makes us feel so good.
Jan, it's nice that you were comfortable enough to come. I think you don't come on the air often enough, quite frankly.
Yeah, we need more Jan in our lives, I think, if that's possible, Jan.
Well, Adam, I'm going to say something to you.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Is it more advice like I got from Dave in the car? Is it more advice for me?
You shouldn't have said nothing to Arkin about the police are going to stop him handcuffing.
Oh, I shouldn't have. I'm sorry, Jan.
I think it was a joke, Jan. I don't think it was.
You know what, Jan? You're right.
I may not have asked for it.
I've been wrestling with that,
funny.
Jan. Yes, it was. You know what it was. See, she gets the joke now. Jan. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for being a loyal listener.
That was the last thing I was expecting her to say to you.
I really wasn't sure what she was about to say.
I had a couple ideas, but that was not it.
On behalf of the Burlington Police Department, I apologize. Wink. I understand what you're trying to do. Next time Arcan is in Burlington, make sure that you get even is what I would say.
He'll be right at the town line like he's here.
we got eyes on him.
Yeah, like a Dukes of Hazzard episode or something like that. Like they're parked like right behind the big
the
billboard.
Sign.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to Burlington.
Yeah.
Boom.
And then
Arcan's going Thelma and Louise once they catch him.
Arcan, the scofflaw, is back in Burlington.
They have a code name for Arcan. Like Peanut Butter Man. Peanut Butter Man is here.
The Peanut Butter Man is here.
I've got eyes on Peanut Butter Man.
Get two slices of bread, slap it together. We're gonna throw them in the slammer. We're gonna wrap them in aluminum foil. Code. 617-779-7937.
Aren't you going to miss this stupid show?
If nothing else, you're not going to get to hear Tommy Curran yell at me anymore. Oh, wait, you will one last time. That's next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.